The text of our message is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Today, our subject is on giving and praying. Up to now, we have spent much time in chapter 5 of Matthew, and that is to correct the many misinterpretations, legalistic and slanted understandings of the very word of God. For example, they say, thou shalt not kill. All right, you don't kill. Yeah, all right. But they can scold their neighbors with bad words and hate them in their hearts. Well, then it's all right. You have not infringed on anything else because it's not stated. But Jesus says, when you hate your brother, the seed of killing is already sown. And when you say bad words, you are guilty of judgment. These belong to the same family of sin, namely murder. Now, as we enter into chapter 6, our Lord would want to purify our motives in our service of God. We all come to church, but how do we worship Him? We all give to the church, but how do we give Him? And what is the motive? And so here are two very important teachings to purify our motives in the service of God, especially in today's sermon. Now we know what is the meaning of giving alms. The dictionary defines giving alms to be giving money or food to feed the poor. Giving money to help the poor and giving food to feed the poor. the Pharisees and the Jews would make a big show of them and advertise themselves, especially if there is a rich Pharisee. And he would sound the trumpet, tell the whole neighborhood, I so and so, and giving the relief to the poor today. Well, this should not be. It is just like the world. And the world have certain, not many philanthropists, but there are certain philanthropists at certain times in our nation. And I still remember, before the war, there were two big taukes in Singapore. One was called Tan Kah Kee, the rubber king, and Kah Kee means a leg or foot. He was also the rubber shoe king. So Tan Kah Kee, Kah Kee has a lot of good rubber shoes. In fact, I remember there were many of his shoe shops, like Bata, everywhere in town. The other man was called Aw Boon Haw. Haw is tiger, and he was a tiger balm king. He invented this tiger balm. And especially at Chinese New Year, these two great philanthropists will come out and give money and food to the poor. And they were greatly applauded by the world, because what the world is, they don't see the motive, they just see the outside. Whatever is done, that is good. And in those days, I remember, perhaps they gave 10 kilos of rice, and an ang pao, maybe $30 or $50 each, to all those that were above 60. Now you know that there are many old people, and so they swarm to these two philanthropists. And the world applauded them. But what are their motives? You can guess. One way is to advertise their goods, so everybody knows what tiger balm is, and even today it is very famous. It's sold even in the airlines. Tiger balm, very good to keep your cold away. And the other one, of course, is to advertise the shoes. But they have their reward. When we do alms to give charity, it is important that we do it without being known. And God says, the Father in heaven, who sees you secretly, He will reward you openly. He will reward you when you are in need, when you think of the poor. Blessed are those who consider the poor. The Lord will take care of them in time of trouble. So, our church has always striven to keep to the laws of God, and it will let the modernist churches know, because they are the ones who stress a great deal on what is called the social gospel. And they always talk about doing charity and doing good. But then, they have their own proportion, and they don't have the ratio that we should give according to the Word of God. So one of the modernist churches many years ago advertised outside the church Wednesday night, Mahjong Drive for Missions. So they will have a Mahjong game, and then they collect money, then they give it to missions to do something good. That is what they do. Very meager little things, because their doctrine does not move their whole heart. to serve the Lord. But it is not known to you. As you give your offerings here, part of them go to charity. But particularly in the case of Cambodia, where we have entered for the last 3 years and over 3 years now. And Cambodia is such a sorry country with so many poor people. In fact, as you look at the weekly today, you can see here Jimmy Rim using an interpreter, a Cambodian, and Jimmy Rim looks double his size. His interpreter is just skin and bones. So the people here are lifers, have been very generous. We sent 10 containers to Cambodia, so much so that the Minister of Social Affairs has written twice to our church to thank us for the bountiful gifts that we have given them, because we have given them not things are thrown away, but all the select clothing and sardines, biscuits, baked beans, and all kinds of good eats to the tune of over $100,000, which you do not know. And these monies are given by groups such as NBC Group, Neighborhood Bible Community, such as a fellowship group, and from individuals, all without any record. And I'm very sure what you have done secretly, God has rewarded you openly in helping you when you are in trouble. And so we thank God that not only you have done this, you have done it, also the FEBC scholarships. There are so many scholarship students supported by our church, but you do not know who gave. These are all anonymous. You have given, for example, to the FEBC Dining Club, the goodly sum, because 100 FEBC students eating every day, there is bound to be deficit. And we who are managing these funds do everything meticulously. At the same time, we pray for those who have given, that God will bless them, and the blessing surely will come to them. Talking about giving to the poor, giving alms, leads us to the topic of giving to God. And in the matter of giving to God, we have just sung, "Bring ye all the tithes," is according to His command, not only according to Malachi 3, but also according to Luke 11:42. Our Lord, He does not do away with tithing, but He supports it, because He gave to the temple tax. When He had no money, He told Peter, "Go to the sea and fish. And the first fish you catch, there will be a coin in its mouth." And sure it was. To show that although He's the Son of God, He still keeps to the laws of His church. And so in the matter of giving to God, we also must make it secret and not advertise it. But there are some churches from certain countries who have a long-standing practice, and they did not realize that they are doing it not according to the word of God, but according to the tradition of men. And I've known of certain churches, when the offerings are brought, envelopes week after week, and they will announce the envelope, so-and-so gives how much, so-and-so gives how much, and that will be wrong. In our own Chinese church at Prinsep Street, I still remember when I was a boy. And there was fun going on. And then at the end of the campaign, they put up a big poster. And one of the chief elders, the richest, gave the most, $10,000, so he put it on the top. And then the last one, maybe so and so, $2. And then they add up the whole total to report to the church. That is because in those days, members were very distrusting. They wanted to know how the money went. And they had to report it. But it is not necessary for us to have a confidence report to you to give everybody's name. It is a matter of structure, of working it out in such a way that there is no need of revealing when the Lord says, keep it secret. First of all the money that is collected here every week is counted by something like half a dozen deacons and others who help. And the chief treasurer is there to collect all the funds and they are countersigned. So we have great confidence that every cent is counted. The second thing is we must have a good treasurer, not only trustworthy but efficient. And I can assure you that now we have a most efficient treasurer who is also very trustworthy. And thirdly, comes a pastor who has the power constantly of directing funds here and there. Now he must also show that he doesn't spend the church's money lavishly, but economically according to the needs strictly. And having this confidence, well, you can rest assured. And so, that's why you have given so liberally to the church, according to the word of the Lord. But we also publish certain figures, particularly of corporate giving. Those people who come and sing at our church and they offer to us $7,000 by the Calvary Tengah singers. Now that is very legitimate. It's not giving glory to anyone, but to let the church know that this money does not come from you, but from others, to show us that there are many other people helping us. And so that is another way. In this way, we have the confidence. The matter of creating trust in giving eliminates all the necessary revealing of all what has been done, so that things are kept in secret. Nobody knows who gives what. Nobody can go and ask a treasurer, who gave this? He will not tell you. And nobody goes to ask. That is on the matter of giving. And now we come to the matter of prayer. Again, it must all be done in secret and not to show off like the Pharisees when they pray in public in the synagogues and in the streets and make long prayers. From here, we learn some lessons. In our church prayers, it is not necessary to make a long prayer, but to the point, and to say words beyond or not pertinent to the issue will be redundant. So let us realize this, not using the same phrases and wording every time we pray, but rather to pray straight to the point and very sincerely. We must pray, first of all, without making flowery speeches. And this is what they call padding, to put in a lot of words to make it long. We must not pray in the indicative mood. We must pray in the optative mood. Well, this is something very mysterious. What am I talking about? The indicative mood is to make sentences, to describe a thing. Lord, thou art the mighty God and the great God, and such words of padding. But to be in the optative mood means in the prayer mood. Oh Lord, to call upon His name. Now there are some who criticize our prayer meeting, and they say that we have not the spirit of prayer. And then they say we have to revive it, and to do this and do that. But somehow the spirit is just about the same. This is because of the times of plenty and safety in which we live. That therefore the church, like the church in Laodicea, tends to be like this. Now I'm not saying that we should just remain like that. But it is not in human power to say, I will revive. The Lord must do it. If the Lord will send a bomb to Singapore and one of our submarines got sunk, and then we get frightened, we'll call, oh Lord, as a nation we'll pray. I know the times we went through during the war when the bombs are raining around us, and we were hiding in an estate in Ahud Road in Toa Payoh. And my uncle had even dug a trench by the hillside, and you may think this is the safest spot to get into the trench on the hillside. And there were quite a few families. One non-Christian family who stayed with my uncle, and we are staying with him, got a direct hit. Even in the trench, in the hillside. And two people were greatly injured and sent to hospital. At that time, they were all on their knees and all called out, oh Lord, please save. That is in the optative mood. That is really in the mood of crying. And so, we must learn that we are Laodicean people and we have not prayed to the Lord because we have no need of anything. I'm rich and I'm well clothed and I'm well fed. But Jesus says, you do not know, but you are blind and weary and poor and you need to repent. It is not one man who can revive a prayer meeting, but it is for all to repent, and then the spirit of prayer will come. And we are praying all the time that the Lord will have mercy on us. Now there is a verse 8, which says, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. In our prayer, we must not think that God is sleeping and is far away, but especially in your dire needs, He knows already before you even ask Him to provide for you. And this verse has been experienced to me most vividly in the early part of my pastoral life. When I came back from the United States, our Tiong Bahru flat had 11 people, including my wife, children, and brothers and sisters. And we had only 3 rooms. So I was desperate. I went to ask my teacher, who was in the Progressive Party, he was a politician, to help me. And he said, do you know that after the war, there are at least 50,000 applicants for housing. So how can I help you? So vain is the help of man. And I was desperate. I cried to the Lord. And He showed me in my impression, you phone direct to the SIT, that is HDB in those days, manager, and tell him your need. I was shivering. How dare I approach such a big man? But the Lord indicated to me in my heart. That was the answer of the Lord's prayer to my prayer. So I phoned to him, Mr. Carter, I am so and so, and I'm living in this house, 11 people with my family and all that, and there's so little space, can you help me? And there was an interval of maybe 1 minute, but it seemed to be an eternity to me. Then finally he said, come and see me tomorrow afternoon. I went there at 2:30, at 2 o'clock rather. In the office I would end at 4:30. And the whole office was crowded, people rushing for forms and getting keys and all these things. So I said to myself, better don't disturb the chief, wait until the last and everything is cleared, I will go in. So I had a long prayer that lasted 2.5 hours, from 2 to 4:30 I waited. So I pray and pray, I said, Lord, help, Lord, help. At 4:30, I sent in my card and tring, there was a reply. I went in, he was still working on his paper and pushing his pen and smoking his pipe. He did not look at me. After he finished, he looked at me. Come next week for a case, all right? That's settled. The Lord knows before you ask what you need, and when it is very urgent and very needy, He will answer you by already confirming you and how you go and see the chief. So whatever needs you have, remember, vain is the help of man, but wonderful is the help of the Lord. So I would like to conclude this second part of prayer with this admonition. James says that, ye have not because ye ask not. You are at the church Laodicea, well provided, I have need of nothing. And that's what the Reverend Philip Wilson Wong of Penang came to our church here and he said, this is the trouble with us today. We don't pray because we are so well provided. But are we so well provided? Ye ask not, you have not, and if you ask amiss. You ask for many of the things of material. We are very poor in our spirit. We may have money, but we are very poor, needing help all the time. And I will give this one to help parents. I see that you labor day and night to push your children to success. Music tuition, Chinese tuition, mathematics tuition, you spend hundreds of dollars. But did you pray? You have not because you ask not. And once again, I have a very wonderful story to tell you between my big granddaughter and myself. I always tell her I love it very much. And then I say, now you must come and pray. Come for blessing. So she comes every time. Then I say, oh Lord, help my big granddaughter to study well and help her in all her subjects. And then after praying, the next time she came again, I said, did you do all right in your exam today? They said, yeah, I did very well. I said, did the Lord help her? Yes. I said, if you do not know anything in the exam, ask the Lord and He will help you. And she smiled. We are poor in so many ways, but we sit here and there, we never ask Him to help. So, there are many things for us to pray for, and we need in many ways, but you don't realize it, that our spiritual needs are there, but we did not recognize them. And then, at our prayer meeting, I thank God for a young lady. And these are all lively testimonies. And she phoned me. This young lady is not very strong in her mental health, and she had been watching the TV every time. I said, why would you come to pray? And, you know, you may not have a specific item to ask, but you just come to the prayer and be immersed in the prayer. It will do you good. And then she phoned me, Pastor, I have felt that I need to contribute something to the Bueller House. I said, that's very good. But I knew that she was not earning, but just living on the savings. And now she really is desperate. And she said, my son so-and-so is playing truant and he would not study and so forth. Can you pray for him? And I pledge, if my son will return to the Lord, I'm going to give $50 to the Bueller House every month. All right, that is a vow. That's an earnest prayer. Will the Lord hear her? It's left to be seen. But I prayed for her and she was very, very happy. You have not because you ask not. And if you ask, you ask amiss. We ask and emphasize all on the wrong things. But the greatest need is our salvation. There are those of us here who have come week in and week out, and you have a very hazy. If someone will ask you point blank, are you saved? You really cannot tell. That is the first item that we should ask the Lord to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness that we may have that experience. And oh, what a wealth of God's blessings they are for you. But you have not come. The spiritual blessings, the joy of living, the conquest over difficulties, pain and sorrow. So many of our members are sick, and we pray for them every Tuesday night. And thank God that some of them have good answers, that the Lord has helped. But you never came to us, you never report to the church. And some will say, it's up to the church to come and see me. I'm sick. Why is it I'm left alone? Well, so many people, we do not have coverage of everyone. But if you tell the church will be very mindful to visit you and to pray for you. So ask, and it shall be given. Today are two subjects on giving and praying. May we take all these lessons to heart. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, we thank Thee for Thy word again. As we go through our Lord's sermon in Matthew, cleanse our hearts and purify us and give us a willing heart to serve You and not out of constraint. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.